Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley, our Braves insider, covers MLB for us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And before we get to this series and talk about what happened over the weekend, I want you to address Bob Horner, who the Braves announced passed away at age 68. And we were talking about, you know, Horner and Murph joining those early 80s teams. And Grant, just reminiscing, I think any Braves fan who's been a Brave fan for life and understands what those early 80s teams meant to build the momentum to when we got to the 90s, and you always talk about that taking off point. Talk about Bob Horner, if you would.
Yeah, one of the more talented hitters that the Braves really ever had in the system. And I know that, you know, for Bob Horner, there were some injuries that kind of derailed his career in part. But when Bob Horner was on the field, you were watching a guy that, you know, was going to do some things that very few others for the Braves were going to do. And I would say, just based on my conversations with Murph over the years, you know, he was a better hitter with Bob Horner in the lineup and said that Bob was the best hitter that he ever played with, which is a pretty high compliment in and of itself. There were some lean times throughout the 1980s, but Bob Horner had just such a unique career in that he never played in the minor leagues. He won the Golden Spikes Award, the first guy to do so, was drafted by the Braves. 10 days later, he's in the lineup, plays a major league career all the way up to 1986, gets caught up in the collusion scandal at that time. Ended up banking about $5 million from that whole thing, goes over to Japan, plays a year there, comes back, and then some injuries finally did his career in after 1 year with the Cardinals. But long story short and history lesson aside, just a really, really talented hitter and slugger, and a guy that, you know, I think as you looked at the Braves really gaining that momentum and becoming America's team, Bob Horner was one of the highlights on a nightly basis when you were watching the Braves, including that four-homer game in 1986, which the first, I think, maybe one of the few that it came in a losing effort, which said a lot about kind of where Braves baseball was at that time.
And again, a lot of guys, Grant, you talked about the four-home run game. I'm watching a whole montage of Bob Horner highlights. He was in the middle of all of that great brawl with the Padres, with Kurt Bavacqua and Jim Summers. And I remember, as a, you know, I loved him as a kid. He reminded me of Dusty Rhodes, just the way he looked. You know, he remember he played third and first. Just, again, Grant touched on it all, but just a tremendous Brave and a great legacy. And again, if there was a Hall of Fame for baseball for guys kind of like Gale Sayers, who had the, you know, careers cut short, he'd be in.
Yeah, and I think that the Braves, with their team Hall of Fame, would be well-served to get Bob Horner in with that group, because I do think that his overall impact and obviously the playing career itself is certainly worthy of that team honor.
All right, let's talk about this team coming off the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and don't freak out, Braves fans. They lose a series, and it's just weird because we've been so good. We just don't lose series. First home series loss. Give me your thoughts on what went wrong with what happened over the weekend before we get into this Boston series, which starts tonight.
Yeah, really, it was the offense. It got really quiet after the Friday emotions and the excitement of that extra inning win and Chadwick Tromp coming through, kind of the unlikely hero for that. You felt like, hey, the Braves have come off 3 out of 4 against the Marlins, even though they lost Drake Baldwin. We're kind of in an okay place, and they're still in a good place. I mean, they're 36 and 18 at the Memorial Day checkpoint. That's a third of the season right now. If you need me to do the quick math for you, 108 win pace. I think they're doing okay. But offensively, just didn't have the bats that they needed over the weekend against the Nationals. They pitched well. They did some other things that they needed to do and can continue to do that will help them win some games, including against the Boston team they've already taken a series from this year. Just one of those weekends where, over the course of a long baseball season, you're going to lose some series here and there, but nothing really, I think, takes the shine off of where the Braves are through a couple of months into this season.
Grant, I saw your tweets about what's going on with Schwellenbach and Waldrop, and it sounds like they're basically on the same timeline, right? So that sounds like, so what do you have an expectation? Because Carl and I were saying you probably want to beef up, you know, maybe another hitter and maybe an outfield position and get another pitcher, and you will they have enough time to get a sample size on Waldrop and Schwellenbach before the trade deadline?
So let me kind of lay out the time frame for the Braves starters who are injured. It's A.J. Smith-Shawver and Hurston Waldrop, who are both throwing bullpens with high intensity, and their next step is going to be facing hitters. And once they do that, you get a better idea of what the timing can be for a rehab assignment. And I talked to Spencer Schwellenbach, who made the trip with the Braves and is on the road, that's a good thing. If he continues to play catch from 60 feet, if all goes well, he'll do that for 2 weeks, then go out to 75 feet. And then he told me the next step is hopefully, fingers crossed, get on the mound and start doing that work. I would say that if you're looking at Waldrop and A.J. Smith-Schauffer, I still think around the All-Star break is at least realistic for both of those guys. Whereas with Schwellenbach, I think he's still several weeks behind both. So you're probably not going to see him, I would imagine, before August. So it would behoove you, if you're the Braves, to really do all the things you can at the trade deadline, because you just, you know that these injuries can change your plans and it's hard to bank on. But if you get Schwellenbach back, you got a first world problem that 29 other teams would love to have, because pitching, as you know, is at a premium, especially at that trade deadline. So A.J. Smith-Schauffer in a really good spot coming back from Tommy John. Hurston Waldrop, of course, had the elbow procedure in the spring. And then we know that Schwellenbach, not only the fractured elbow last year, but a second procedure to clean up the elbow with some bone chips. That's what has him a little bit further behind those other two guys.
While we're talking about injuries, Baldwin update, what's the latest with Drake?
Unfortunately, it's an oblique thing, which means he just gets to hurry up and wait for a little while. It's a grade one strain, so you're not necessarily thinking it should be a long absence, but you do have to really check the boxes of making sure that you do give it adequate time to heal and don't push him back too fast. And I don't think the Braves are going to do that, but it's an absolute shame. I talked to Walt Weiss, you know, this past week, and you know, Drake has been
looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart. I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters: love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, not even arguably, but has been the Braves' best and most consistent hitter. And to lose him for any amount of time stings, but at least at that time, they were able to get Ronald Acuna Jr. back off the IL. And I think with Sandy Leon and Chadwick Trump, they have some capable game callers behind the plate. And every now and again, they might be good for a moment, like we saw from Trump on Friday. But the sooner the better to get Drake Baldwin back. He was putting up an all-star caliber season, maybe even an MVP-type case. So hopefully he doesn't miss too much time. But there's just no way to know exactly how quickly they can get him back. They just hope that sooner than later.
Saw that, you know, everybody goes through like little bits of, you know, hot spells and cold spells. Like, is Ozzie, you know, he had some hits the other night, but it seems like Ozzie's kind of cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, we've seen some of that, because he went through at one point, it was he and Drake Baldwin were just battling out for most hits in the National League, and then there was a couple of weeks span where it just really cooled off for Ozzie. Matt Olson's also kind of been going through one of those ruts. I think Austin Riley, meanwhile, has looked a little bit better this month, but still searching for that consistency. And I know after the loss over the weekend, you know, he kind of said, I'm frustrated. I want to get consistent. I want us all to get to doing the things that we're expected to do. And no one knows it more than those guys. But you're right, Mike. This is a long season. Nobody's hot for 162 games. If you are, you call that a special season, and you usually win an award. So I think they've got, in the aggregate, a lot of guys that are capable of doing the things we've become accustomed to with a much better offense than we've seen for the Braves really since dating back to 2023.
Grant, how does Riley cut down on the strikeouts? 30 Ks in the month of May. I think he's hitting 270, maybe somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Just the strikeouts are a little bit concerning, but again, we've seen him come back. You know, it seemed like he was dead, right? He wasn't coming back. And then he comes back. But the strikeout numbers, what do you think there?
Yeah, and he kind of was caught in a weird place where the first, I want to say, 3 to 4 weeks of the season, like much of April, he was striking out at a very low rate. But he also did not have the power. We didn't see the extra base hits. It was just not, you know, looking like the normal Austin Riley, doing the kind of, you know, production and damage you need him to do. And then I think he started to kind of alter his approach and change some things and get maybe a little bit more aggressive to try to kind of push some things and get it jump-started. So I think that'll normalize. It's a little bit higher than normal, but his strikeout rate is typically around 26-27% for his career. So it's a little bit elevated for the month of May, but hopefully he can kind of dial that in. I don't think there's any big change that's needed. It's just been good to see him driving the ball, driving in some runs, and being a part of some important wins where on a day that you needed him to, he's been able to come through. But that's the number one thing I can tell you from talking to him already this year that he's been looking for is consistency. And he would also like to see those strikeouts kind of come down and start getting those consistent power numbers and that run production that the Braves very much need from him right now, especially with Drake Baldwin sidelined.
It's our man Grant McCauley, guys, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We were talking with Tony Gwynn Jr. earlier today, and he said he thinks lots of teams are stealing bases. After all those pickoffs, have we just kind of cooled off on the letting it rip on the base paths?
It looks like it, and you kind of knew that there had to be some kind of course correction, some kind of adjustment. I mean, you don't want to be running into outs, but I also look at it from an opportunity standpoint. Who are the guys most likely to be doing the stealing? Well, Michael Harris is one of them, and I think right. we'll see some steals from Harris, who's having a very nice year power-wise. He's on pace for, you know, over 30, maybe 35 home runs at this point, which would be a pretty nice season for Michael. And Ronald Acuña Jr. was on the injured list with a hamstring, and he's the number one threat for stolen bases on this team. I know they want to tap into it more. I know they want to be opportunistic about it, but they definitely needed to try to figure out what it was that was leading to some of the free outs they were handing other teams, because I felt like just from watching it, some tendencies and some strategies the Braves were using were maybe read a little bit too easily or anticipated too easily by the opposing team. So, you know, maybe a little bit more quiet on the base paths was the first step to solving that. And then I think they run the bases well, taking the extra base and going first to third, doing all those kinds of things. Apparently Dom Smith is a guy that you can count on for some extra bases from what we saw down in Miami. They're just trying not to run into any outs, I think would probably be the easiest explanation for it.
Let's talk about the Red Sox, man. What to expect in this series?
Red Sox are a team that has just been very underwhelming this year. Clearly, they got off to a slow start, and they fired Alex Cora. And I don't know that that's necessarily fixed things for them, because they're really missing the nuts and bolts of an offense that's really going to do the things that they were expected to do. Wilson Contreras, who won a game against the Braves with a big home run in Atlanta, he was the American League Player of the Week this week. So he comes in hot. You're going to see Connelly early in this series, the lefty that the Braves saw in the most recent series up at Truist Park. But the Braves get to counter with three of their best. They've got Spencer Strider, Bryce Elder, and Chris Sale rolling along here. So if the Red Sox offense was hoping for a reprieve, they just got three of the toughest assignments they could get from the Braves.
Good stuff. Grant, as always, appreciate you stopping by. We'll see what happens before these guys get ready to come back home. But look, I think at the end of the day, Braves fans should be still feeling really good about where we're at. Again, best record in baseball, and as Mike and you said, we can't win them all. But this weekend is not an indicator of anything except that's the game, right? That's it.
Yep, I feel like that's kind of the case, and what do good teams do? They bounce right back and win a series, get themselves back on the right track, and the Braves have a really good opportunity to do that against a Boston team that really, again, has underperformed this year. So we'll see what happens.
Good stuff. We'll talk tomorrow, Grant. Thank you again.
Thanks, guys.
All right, cool. Dukes and Bell, guys. We got to talk about a couple of things, a couple of stories. Mike and I were just talking about this before Grant came on. One of them is college-related. It's not SEC-related. But it is a big story because I think it sends a statement. And then we're going to talk about what we're learning about the Hawks, because even though we know the draft is coming up, watching these teams, man, and the Knicks advanced last night, Harden was Harden, Mike. We'll dive into all of this because there are things right now as you watch these playoffs, and the guy that I have to watch all of a sudden is Wimby. I got to see what he's going to do.
It's must-see TV.
It really is, man. We'll get into all of that and more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.